Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
So listen up. The political parties in each and every state appoint a slate of delegates who wait to be told what to do.
By you and your vote.
And your vote, see? So when you go into that booth at your polling place on election day to choose a president,
what you're really voting for is that group of electors.
Got it? Uh-huh. And the candidate who gets the most votes wins every elector in that state.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none.
And the winners go to Washington to cast their ballots.
The electoral ballots
for the candidate they represent.
Now the number of electors that each state gets corresponds to its members in the House and the Senate.
Big states get more,
little states get less.
And the total number of electors in the country that a candidate has got to get to be elected president is 270.
That's at least 270 electoral votes.
And each and every state is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
It's the will of the people that the college seems to amplify. To put a brave face on a close race and try to make the difference between the winner and the loser seem larger. That's the intent of our founding fathers. So if the vote is tight and there's not a clear choice, still all the people of the state will seem to speak with one voice.
Majority rule.
There's no second place.
So even if
A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none. And each and every state
is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
Now to win those elections, you gotta make selections on where to spend your time and your money.
So check across the nation for voter registration and step to the states with the big population.
Cause that's where the votes are, electors the most are.
The whole thing works like a video game where you take aim to claim a whole state as your own.
And each and every state is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge. So get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
Get to Know Your Electoral College is Spicy Tea and Sheehan from Schoolhouse Rock's The Vote. Right here on the Children's Hour, we're talking with an elector. Dr. Pamela Herndon was an elector for the state of New Mexico in a previous presidential election. And one question we have is, can anyone be an elector, Dr. Herndon?
So generally, the electors come from the state central committee. It could also be a member, a high-ranking political officer, could, like the governor, for example, or the lieutenant governor, if they chose to be an elector. But generally, they leave it to the policymakers. Who set out the rules and the policies that will be governing a particular political party. So the state central committee is elected in the state of New Mexico, and they are elected by precincts and by wards to represent a particular area where they live. And it's just like the United States, where we have House of Representative members representing each and every person in a state. Well, in the state of New Mexico, we have state central committee members representing the entire state, coming together to determine the procedures and policies that a particular political party will use.
Can an elector go rogue? Can it like just discard the popular vote and just do whatever it wants to do?
Well, I want you to know, Lucas, that there have been some electors who have tried to go rogue and have tried to cast their ballots for somebody different than what the people in the state that where they live have cast their ballots. So that matter has also been taken to the Supreme Court, and they cannot do that. And in most states, and in some states, for example, if an elector tries to cast the ballot different than what the people of the state have directed them to cast, then they could be actually put in jail for purposes of not following the rules as they should have been.
What does rogue mean?
Rogue means they're not following the process or that they should be following. They're not going down the path that they're supposed to follow. Like say, for example, if we took boys and girls in the state of New Mexico and girls were one party and boys were one party and the girls won the race, but the boys were the electors and they said, well, we're going to vote for boys. We're not going to vote for the girls. Well, that would not work because the girls had the majority of the votes. So the boys have to vote for the girls. So going rogue would mean that you would vote in a different way than what the majority had voted. And that's not what electors are supposed to do. They're supposed to cast their ballots the same way that the majority of the people in the state have cast their ballots.
I've been studying the Electoral College, and so far it's all seemed pretty simple, but everyone's saying it's really confusing. So what's the confusing part?
So the confusing part is that when you look at the number of votes that are cast across the United States, sometimes they don't necessarily coincide with the way the Electoral College ends up selecting the president and vice president. And there have been two examples to occur during the past, been two of the past presidential elections. One involved George Bush Jr. And so when he ran for office, he did not win the popular vote. And when Donald Trump ran for office, he did not win the popular vote. When George Bush ran, there was a 500,000 difference in the votes. When Donald Trump won, there was over 3 million differences in the vote that he received and looking at what people had cast. So the people were saying, then why are we utilizing this Electoral College? Because the people really haven't spoken when the majority of the people had voted for somebody else. But the Electoral College had determined that a different person other than the majority had voted. So there seems to be a very, very different process that really is confusing because in the various states, you must vote for the person with the popular vote. But then if you look at it on a bigger scale, the country is not voting for the person that the country wanted. So that is what is very, very confusing about the Electoral College today.
I'm just going to ask my crew, what do you think about that? Does that seem fair?
I feel like that's unfair.
The only way we can change this, Corbett, is through changing our Constitution. Because right now, the Electoral College is constitutionally mandated, and it would require 2/3 of the vote of the House and the Senate to change that rule to make it go out to a vote of the states. And then 3/4 of the states would have to vote to change the rule. So those are kinds of things that we really need to think about. How do we work on them to make things very fair so that when a group of people vote and they all vote for something that they want, that their voices are really heard, because that's the basis for which our country is built upon.
How did the Electoral College come about?
The early writers of our Constitution thought that they were really creating a process that was going to be fair for everybody who is in the country. So there were more people in the eastern part of the country along the New York corridor, for example, than there were in the southern part of the country, like in Texas or in New Mexico, for that matter. So they thought if they gave people electoral votes, that it would somehow balance out so that those votes that are cast in areas where there are fewer people would not be diminished in any way because there are larger groups of people who might be voting in other parts of the country. But what has happened is, looking forward, that really has not worked out well, and that has shown itself in at least two elections that have occurred so far.
Do you think the Electoral College would have worked better when it was first created?
I do. I think when it was first created, it probably worked a little better, but even that is hard to see. Because if you look at what the Electoral College does, it gives us the same number of votes as we have representatives in Congress. So that if you look at New Mexico, we only have 5 electoral votes because those are the numbers of members that we have in Congress. And if you look at a place like California, for example, which is the largest of the states with the most members in Congress, you wonder, you said, how did that really make things more equal? Because all you've done now is to pare down those numbers, but you really haven't brought about equality in terms of the voting.
Is it only the presidential campaign that's affected by electors?
It's only the presidential campaign that is affected by electors. That is where we use it solely, and it's solely for the purpose of representing, or electing rather, the president and the vice president of the United States, because they're the most powerful people in our country.
Are you still an elector, or are they new every election?
I am an elector only for a presidential election, which occurs every 4 years. And so every 4 years, we would get new electors in the Electoral College. So during the time that I was in the Electoral College, I was the secretary of the electors. So if you go to the Secretary of State's office, you'll see that I signed the document showing what our vote was and how we proceeded. But after I completed signing those documents and they were filed with the Secretary of State's office and sent to the Vice President of the United States, who serves as President of the Senate, that vote was read in the Senate, my term was up.
Our guest has been New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon. She was an elector once upon a time, and I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour, Representative Herndon.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men said, vote, go vote. Humpty Dumpty. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and said, vote, go vote. Humpty dumpty. Little Miss Muffet sat on a taffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her, said, vote, go vote. Vote, go vote.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
Vote, go vote. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like vote, go vote.
That's Ants on a Log right here on the Children's Hour with the Humpty Vote song. We're thinking about voting today on the show because it's the season for the presidential election. It's the first Tuesday in the month of November. And as we're recording this show, we've got a big one happening in our presidential election. We're excited for you to learn more. Go to childrenshour.org and look for this episode, Presidential Elections. There we've got links for you to find out if you're registered to vote wherever you live in the United States, and pictures and more information. As we think about voting, unfortunately, kids can't vote in these presidential elections. So kids are looking to the adults to do the right thing, and that's get in the voting booth and vote. You've been listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We're going to go out with one more. This is Bob Doro with the campaign trail. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Four years have passed, it's time again to stage the main event. Election day is drawing near, we'll pick our president. The candidates stump state to state to build their reputations. In primaries across the land, they fight for delegations. New Hampshire is the first to vote, their winner is front runner. Then all the rest play catch-up ball to pass him before summer. Republicans and Democrats hold national conventions. They build their party platforms to broadcast their intentions. The candidates they nominate will surely have potential. They'll have to campaign long and hard to prove they're presidential. With whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots and pollsters' picks, even dirty tricks, they run for president. The key states are the bigger ones with larger populations. They have the electoral votes it takes to win elections. Their votes are cast in what we call the Electoral College. And it takes 270 votes to gain the winning edge. So read the paper, watch the news, and keep yourself abreast. That's how in our democracy we're sure to pick the best. So what if you're too young to vote? Go volunteer and help promote a party or a candidate who shares ideas you advocate. You can't sit home up on your butt and let the others do it. But if the one you like should lose, I promise you, you'll rue it. Don't say I didn't warn you. The one thing everyone can do to make our country better is tell the candidates what we think by writing them some letters. They're also on the internet. The White House has a website, so reach out over cyberspace. Express your rights in bits and bytes. Starting with George Washington, we've always had our say. Be sure and help get out the vote our next election day. After whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots, election day, we'll have our say and pick the president.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, and we want to thank our guests, New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver and New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.